Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 19, and it's the battle for the Keystone State, Dave, the Eagles and the Steelers at Lincoln Financial on Sunday, 4:25, both coming in 2-0. How you feeling about things?
Well, you know, you head into the week, or you look at this thing ahead of time on the schedule, And you know, this was obviously after the Sam Bradford trade, and you think, all right, Steelers got a rookie quarterback here in week three. They get through these first two games. Okay, we'll go ahead and, you know, maybe kind of pencil in a W right there. You see what happened with Carson Wentz these first two games. You go ahead and you break down the tape as we have, you know, both sides of the football for them. Look, I fully – you know, I'm save the listeners the suspense right now. I'm obviously picking the Steelers to win this game. However, Wentz is a good quarterback, and this is a very, very decent defense for the Eagles, especially when it comes to pass rush. And if anything, their weakness is going to be on the back end of this defense, and we'll get into all this breakdown, you know, a little bit later on in the show here. But maybe not a real pushover, but I'll put it to you this way. The Eagles are impressive on tape so far.
Yeah, you got to like what you've seen. Sure, they've played the Browns and the Bears, but you play who's in front of you, so that's what you've had to deal with. And I think when you look at it, as we get into it, the thing about Carson Wentz is you saw Doug Peterson come out with a pretty vanilla offense in the game against the Browns, where he wasn't necessarily asked to do a ton of things. He delivered exactly what they needed him to deliver. And then they come out in the Monday night game, and he comes out empty set, no huddle. And he's calling audibles at the line of scrimmage right at the beginning of the game. And, you know, that stuff is noticeable for a rookie quarterback. So, you know, as we heard from Dave Spadaro on Wednesday, look, they feel like he's incredibly mature, studying the game. You know, he's doing what he needs to do to kind of progress at as quickly as possible. So it will be interesting. It certainly makes this game really intriguing, and it'll be a nice challenge for Keith Butler based on what he's done the first 2 weeks to see whether he does the same or he does something different.
Yeah, and how much do you think the short week plays in on this for the Eagles side of things?
Well, it obviously doesn't help. It doesn't help. I mean, you know, the thing is, if you look at the way things work, you get that off day, so you're coming in a day late. But I'm guessing Carson Wentz didn't have much of an off day.
Yeah, he was probably glued to the tape for sure here, and it will be interesting. Well, we'll get into the breakdown a little bit later here.
Yeah, let's get to the injury report, Dave. And you know, mostly good news. It looks like Marcus Wheaton a full go. And so again, it'll be interesting to see what kind of snaps, how he cuts into the other receiver's snaps. And then it doesn't look good for Rosie Nix or Cody Wallace. I would think, you know, there's a chance with Cody. Rosie Nix, no way. We saw some other guys listed. I guess the thing that would concern you a little bit is Cam Hayward was limited with the knee yesterday. But from all accounts of people I spoke to, that's not a big deal. So that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, Cameron Hayward, a kind of a surprise addition on the Thursday injury report, as you said, with that knee. I'm with you. I'll be surprised if Cameron Hayward doesn't play. At least he was limited. Roosevelt Nix has been limited both days this week. And, you know, I guess we'll see. I mean, you fully would expect him to be listed as I'm expecting to probably be listed as question or doubtful, probably, right?
I don't, you know, with Wallace and Nix, they haven't played yet this year, and teams 2-0, they're not obviously key guys. You'd like to have them rather than not have them, but give another week and let them come back Sunday against Kansas City, or let them come back in week 5. I just, if they haven't, you know, they've missed so much practice time now, I just don't see it.
Yeah, Cody Wallace missing 2 days already. That, you know, that's not going to happen with him. Of course, Cinquez Golson will miss another game. Landry Jones showed up on the Thursday injury report with a back problem of some sort. It'd be interesting to see what happens on Friday here. You would think it's still, I mean, his back would probably have to be pretty bad for them to not dress, you know, for him not to dress and for Zach Mettenberger to have had enough time to dress as a number two here. So we'll watch that on Friday as well, too. Ramon Foster, not injury related, was, I think, limited again on Thursday after not practicing on Wednesday. Back at work on Thursday, D'Angelo Williams, Chris Hubbard, and you know, I think that's it. Chris Hubbard, I believe, is a new daddy, and I believe that's what led to him not working on Wednesday. And of course, D'Angelo getting those maintenance days at the beginning of the week, probably no big surprise there.
Yeah, and then for the Eagles' day, they've got four guys who were out yesterday, who, you know, doesn't look like they're going to play, and guys who will, you know, would have some impact potentially on the game.
Yeah, you know, Zach Ertz, I don't think he's going to play still with that rib. The other one,
he's not playing.
Leotis McKelvin has battled that hamstring that he got kind of late in that opener against Cleveland. So it doesn't sound like Doug Peterson's expecting him to play. And Isaac Ciamolo, a guard, is battling a pectoral injury. And to hear Peterson talk, he just doesn't have strength in that. So that's three of the four. Michael Kendricks, I think he will play, David. He busted his nose in the game against the Bears and also had a kind of a quadricep bruise or something in that game. He's been held out of both Wednesday and Thursday's practice. But to hear Peterson, you know, kind of, you know, beat around the bush, it sounds like Kendricks will be the one of those four that have not practiced this week that will play against the Steelers. Obviously, if he doesn't, that's a huge, huge blow for their defense. Now, they have four players who have practiced fully all week who are on the injury report. Defensive end Vinnie Curry with a knee, safety Malcolm Jenkins with a foot, Chris Maragos, a safety with an elbow, and safety Jalen Watkins with a knee. All these guys have practiced fully or are expected to play. But the three, I would go ahead and write in on your inactive list if you're keeping one at home, and I know many of you are. Zach Ertz, Leotis McKelvin, and Isaac Ciamolo.
All right, that's the injury report. And Steelers Nation, look, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 866-772-0471. That's 866-772-0471. That's NM, or you can apply online, of course, at www.1amllc.com/Craig. It's company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Okay, Dave, let's take a look at a little bit of the game plan here you expect for the Steelers. And this is something we've been talking about really all season long with the wide receivers, with Marcus Wheaton coming back and how he's going to cut into the playing time. And you and I kind of disagreed about how much time he would get when we spoke on Wednesday. You were thinking less than 20 snaps. I was thinking maybe 30 or more. And kind of maybe all three of those, all four of those guys getting about 30 snaps with DHB maybe getting a few less of the 110 or so that might be available. Still feeling the same way that Wheaton will be the low guy for you?
You know, I don't know. Low guy of those three, talking about Sammy, DHB, and Wheaton. But, you know, I'm still going to guess under 20 snaps for what it's worth. You know, I think you can distribute those snaps on out. I think Wheaton will get time both outside – Yeah, I can see him getting to some of Eli Rogers' snaps in the slot as well, too. But with that said, I'm still going to take the under of 20. Maybe it comes in at 18 or 19 or so. But first game back, I mean, I don't know. I think you can rotate all those guys and give them all quite a few snaps in this game.
Offensively, would you expect anything different from what we've seen in the first two games? I mean, Jesse James has played every snap. We've seen a fair bit of Xavier Grimble and David Johnson. And Mike, in a press conference on Tuesday, made a point to, because obviously the talking point was the other two guys catching touchdowns, to point out what a good job David Johnson has done blocking. I think you and I have pointed that out a couple times. The O-line, the backfield, you know, D'Angelo is going to get the majority of the carries. Are there other things to add?
No, I really don't think there. I mean, look, we got a good read on Todd Haley's offense by now. You know, I think the only thing that really kind of changes on a week to week basis is not so much the plays as it does the formations and the window dressing. You know, and the things that go along with that. I mean, I think, you know, Ben's gonna take his 6, 7, 8 shots down the field. You're going to have the split zone runs, different variations of that. You're going to have the counters. I think you're going to see – you'll probably see a little bit more RPO, I think, in this one, David, to be quite honest with you. I would. The biggest –
just for listeners, run pass option is what that refers to.
Right, right. I think – and you know, I think you'll see a couple of screen passes out of that, you know, quick wide receiver screens out of those RPOs this week as well, too. The biggest thing, you know, when it comes to this Eagles defense, and Todd Haley even hit on this when he was talking to the folks – Missy Matthews and all those guys for Steelers Nation Radio, was that this Eagles defense can get after the quarterback. They play those wide nine defensive ends, and those guys are tough to kind of control on the outside. They can wreck up your running game in a hurry by getting upfield, and it goes without saying they can disrupt the pass as well. So the Steelers tight ends and tackles really need to be on the screws in this game. This will be a great test for both Villanueva and Marcus Gilbert. Jesse James, look, Jesse James, David, has a bigger cult following, I think, than we realized, because whenever you write anything negative about Jesse James, as Matthew Marksey did for us this week, you get a lot of backlash. His blocking, David, it needs some work, both run and pass protection, and there's no two ways about it. Is he a great threat in the passing game? Absolutely. And you know, you go back, David, and we talked about that tight end. I mean, that touchdown by James earlier in the week. He was in the wrong place on that play. Now, did it work out for the Steelers? Absolutely. And give me plays that don't work that result that result in touchdowns every day. But the fact of the matter is, that was a bust right there. And you know they got lucky, they got fortunate there. He's making mistakes he needs to clean up. But offensively for the Steelers, look, I think you need to try to run and establish this run. I think, once again, this is a team that I think you can run on up the middle, and that's what I try to do early. And you know, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of surprises on offense.
Yeah, I think the question is, you know, how in the passing game are those guys? How much do you chip? How much do you chip with the backs? How much do you give the tackles help? I mean, Ali Villanueva. Look, he's struggled a little bit here to start the season. That's the way it is. And you look at that front four, and it's really good. And, you know, I'll keep singing Fletcher Cox's praises, because when you're talking about the elite inside guys in the NFL, you know, that list is J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, you know, and Ndamukong Suh. I mean, those might be the five guys right there that are the elite guys. And so it'll be a challenge. They'll move him around a little bit on that line. So, you know, that's something to watch. And we'll see if the Steelers run some screens, or if they, you know, both wide receiver and running back screens, if they look for the quick hitters with Eli Rogers, you know, and when you see that, one of the things you'll see on some of those plays is you'll see Marcus Gilbert, particularly Gilbert, more than Villanueva. He likes to dive and try to chip guys if the Steelers are going to run that quick pass. So just something to watch in terms of blocking technique, in terms of what they do. I haven't had a chance to go through the Eagles-Bears game a second time, but did watch it the first time. And that defense is, you know, it's an aggressive defense that's got some talent, but maybe not guys that you've heard of. If you're thinking about guys that everybody's heard of already, well, it is Michael Kendricks, I would think, and it is Fletcher Cox, but I'm not sure that there are many other guys on that defense who are a household name.
Yeah, boy, Brandon Graham, if people don't know his name, you remember when he was a free agent?
That was Jason World's retiring, right? He was in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote extensively about him and how, boy, if there's one guy that I wish the Steelers would go after in free agency, yeah, that was one of the guys, and it's too bad they didn't, to be honest with you. Brandon Graham really is a defensive end in their system. He has two sacks already, on two or three sacks on the season. I put both two of those GIFs up on Twitter on Thursday afternoon, and great hand usage, great bend around the outside with him. Now, he hasn't gone up against elite right tackles so far this season, but Brandon Graham out of that wide nine can definitely get off the football and can definitely cause you some problems. So it will be fun to watch the Marcus Gilbert versus Brandon Graham matchup. And if Gilbert really wants to, again, be thrust into that conversation that he's getting thrown some shade and he really belongs, as a potential Pro Bowler, all pro, if you will, this is a game that he'll need to really make a stand and shut down a guy like Brandon Graham. Fletcher Cox really is an underrated guy interior, and boy, they paid him like they know he's not underrated just recently on his last contract here. Connor Barwin, that's a guy that I think people should recognize the name, the defensive end on the other side. And you know, when you go back and you talk about and you listen to the things that Todd Haley said, David, he said the thing about their defense is they rotate in a lot of these guys as well, too. So Vinnie Curry, Marcus Smith, Bo Allen, they expect to see these guys rotated through. If they have a weakness, you know, I think it's obviously their linebacker core. But, I mean, I like Nigel Bradham. He, of course, came over with Jim Schwartz from where? Buffalo. Kendricks is another big name. But they're secondary. If you can get protection for Ben Roethlisberger, this ought to be a secondary that Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown ought to be able to eat alive. If you don't have a guy like McKelvin in there, you're probably going to have Jalen Mills, the rookie, start in there opposite Nolan Carroll. And then you're going to have a guy like Ron Brooks see some snaps in here as well, too. So this is a Eagles secondary that I believe can be exploited if they can give Roethlisberger time.
I'm with you on that. And you look at the guys in the secondary, and you know, if McKelvin can't go, you know, Malcolm Jenkins is a guy people probably know at safety. But if McKelvin can't go, again, it's Jalen Mills, a seventh round pick at LSU, who's going to be out there. Mills is the guy who put the hit on RG3 to knock him out for potentially the season. He's made some good plays. He's gotten burned a couple times. I couldn't agree more. They are going to have their hands full with Antonio Brown. He should be licking his chops. Nolan Carroll was a guy who was just waived by Miami, and now he's starting at that position. So they're not strong at the corner position.
Let me ask you this. Coming off of, look, there's a lot of tape floating around of how the Bengals have attacked, you know, Antonio Brown over the last couple of years here, and you know, how they roll coverage to his side and how, you know, try to bracket him the best that they can. Now, not always. It looks easier than what it is, obviously. But if you're the Eagles, do you try to mimic some of those same things and just hope a guy like, say, Mills on the other side can just keep up with a guy like Sammy Coates, or you know, if a guy like Ron Brooks can guard a guy like either Wheaton or Eli Rogers in the slot. Do you consistently just try to take Antonio Brown away from Ben Roethlisberger and then get beat, you know, have 45 points scored on you just because of the other receivers?
I don't know what the heck I'd do if I'm the Eagles. I mean, Antonio Brown's my first, you know, I want my coverage rolled his way, and I want the other guys to beat me. So, yes, but, I don't know that they have the personnel to do it.
Would you play a lot of cover two in this one?
I would. I would play cover two, and then, you know, I might – you know, look, and Dave was exactly right on Wednesday when he talked about it. You're absolutely begging that your front four can get a pass rush with four. I mean, we talk about the Steelers doing that and trying to get a pass rush with four and being able to drop guys in coverage. It's imperative upon the Eagles to be able to get it without having to bring guys out of the – you know, bring five or six. They'll do it. And I would do it if I were them too, just to give Ben some different looks and to see if the Steelers can handle it. Because, you know, they haven't given up many sacks, but we'll, you know, that'll cause the Steelers to do some things. So I would definitely show them some different looks. But you're begging that you win that matchup up front, or it might be a long day.
Yeah. So if you're Jim Schwartz, you're dropping you're dropping seven quite a bit in this game, right?
Yes. I'm. That is my primary defensive alignment.
And if that's the case, and if you come to the line of scrimmage and you think that they're going to do this, this ought to set up a lot of run opportunities, because if you're going to count numbers in the box a bunch in this game, then in my opinion, that's why I think you can possibly run quite a few more RPOs in this game. You spread these guys out. You see how it looks like they're going to defend it. And if you have an advantage in the box there, well, then you just run it. If you see somebody or a safety or something maybe creeping up, well, that's going to present another matchup. I think, if the Eagles can't get home with four, which I think they're going to get home a couple of times with rushing four, but if they're not able to do this on a consistent basis in this game, I think Ben in the offense should be able to move the football well.
Yeah. So on the other side of the ball, again, it's just a question of how many different looks are you going to show Wentz? And I guess, Dave, from listening to some of the folks talking about this game, I think I have a little different view than most. And I would be bringing pressure on Carson Wentz, and I would be bringing it often. I understand what the Steelers have done has been successful, but if the Eagles are deep in their own territory, okay, you maybe just give him the checkdowns and let him keep taking the checkdowns, because I don't think the Steelers are necessarily going to have a ton of trouble with the two outside guys for the Eagles. So that's the positive. But man, let's see if he can get the hot read every time, and if you're disguising coverages and throwing, you know, talking about what you did on Wednesday with the trap on the outside, you know, show them these different things and bring five or bring a guy off the edge, whether it's Shazier or a corner or a safety, and make it hard for him and make him have to work fast.
I certainly would sugar a lot of stuff up. I would definitely show him a lot of things where he thinks maybe more guys are coming than what's coming. That's for sure. You know, you talk about that amoeba kind of front sometimes where guys just walking around up front there. I would show him a lot of that. I would definitely see how good he is at identifying who's coming and who's not. And just because you do that kind of stuff doesn't mean that you have to send more than four in those situations. The thing is, you're just trying to make him make some pre-snap reads that he's probably not sure about. He's already played two, three, four teams, right? You know, in the Browns and the Bears. So, you know, he's got a good idea what's going on. You know, if you go back, David, and for those who haven't maybe seen it yet and watch some of the video that Alex did on how the Steelers effectively shut down A.J. Green and how they actually played – you know, a little bit of cover two with Cockrell up on the line, and you know, some variations of Cockrell playing some press and some press bell. I don't, being as how Wentz wants to get rid of the football so quick, and is probably going to want to settle into this game with a lot of quick passes. I'm not so sure that I want him to have kind of those easy off coverages in those game, in this game. If anything, I want his first two or three throws to be kind of 10, 12 yard variety. I don't want him to establish any kind of rhythm just because he has some cover three off coverages here. And then once again, you know, I mix up some of these looks for him as best as I can. Oh, look, we're not reinventing the wheel here, and it's not like Keith Butler's going to reinvent it as well either. But I really want to see how much Carson Wentz knows from what he studied on tape here. And like I said in the earlier in the week, I want him throwing the football down the seam as much as possible, past 10 yards, past the line of scrimmage. If you go back and you look, I broke down several of these explosive plays, David, that the Steelers had against the Bengals. How many times have we talked about cover three beaters with the Steelers and how they get that tight end, or they get that kind of slot receiver up the seam against cover three? I want to see if Carson can Wentz can make those throws early on if I am going to play cover three on top of it. And more than anything, they've got two backs in Matthews and Darren Sproles that boy.
I love Sproles.
I mean, he's so slippery. What a great fantasy back he's been over the years, because he might rush the football four times for 20 yards, but he'll catch four passes for 70 yards, and he might even return, have a return for a touchdown or something. If I'm Carson Wentz, I'm looking for both those guys a bunch out of the backfield as well.
Yeah, and you know, the Steelers got to be sure on their tackling. They play fast. They've had guys around the ball. That's been a very good trait of the defense. They just got to tackle a little bit better. Make sure they tackle the catch out of the backfield or the check down with these guys. I'm with you on that.
Did you see my yak stats from that game?
I glanced at them. Yes.
The thing is, let me kind of read some of those off for people that did not see that post. Overall the numbers weren't good when you look at when you look at average, because 6 yards of yak per reception. Now ideally I think you want that number between 3.5 or 4.5, and obviously if you can get it lower than that, the more the better, as they say. But when you look at the passes that the Bengals completed to tight ends and wide receivers on Sunday, the Steelers defense only allowed 48 yards after the catch for an outstanding average of 2.5 yards. I mean, that there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And the biggest single yak by either a tight end or a wide receiver in that game was 10 yards, and that was on a little dump off to Tyler Kroft, who actually lined up as a fullback on the play late in the first half, if you remember. So when you look at what they allowed to the running backs, Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill combined for 138 yards after the catch, David. 138 of the 186 total yak yards that they had in that game on 12 total receptions. You remember you talked about going into that game, why don't the Bengals use, why aren't they using Giovanni Bernard more in the passing game? Well, they did, and it worked. And three of those 12 catches ended up with a running back having more than 20 yards after the catch. And I broke down, David, on one of those explosive plays. I broke down that one late in the second half on that dump off to Giovanni Bernard with when did that play happen? Like something like 40 something seconds remaining in the first half. That was the play right after the turnover. It just makes you sick to your stomach because you know the defense is thinking to themselves, don't give up the big play deep here. You kind of some deep drops on the play. So what do? They let a little dump off, a design dump off at that to Giovanni Bernard. Get out to that right side. He gets two offensive linemen out in front there, and boom, here they are on the Steelers' side of the field. First play. With less than a minute to go in the first half. So those are the type of things. That's why we talk about yak, and that's why we're talking about yak to running backs out of the backfield. So they really need to do a better job controlling that against the Eagles with two backs who can really get away from you.
Okay.
Boy, I'm long-winded this morning, aren't I? You can't get an edge in word.
Well, I don't know that there's a lot more to say. I mean, I think we know what the Steelers' offense is going to be looking to do, and the Eagles' defense is just going to have to see if the front four in the back, and then the Steelers' defense. It is just a question of how much pressure they bring and controlling those guys out of the backfield on the checkdowns and. And, you know, I'm not overly concerned about Aguilar and Matthews. I'm not dismissing them. They're decent receivers, but neither one's a pure number one as you would think about it. So, I think missing Ertz hurts them because Selleck's a good tight end. And, you know, having multiple guys in that to exploit the middle of the field could make a difference. Trey Burton was a factor in that game against Chicago on Monday night. So he did matter, and it'd be interesting to see how much they use him. But, you know, and then Dorial Green-Beckham's a bit of a wild card. As they took the shot with him, we'll see, you know, how his playing time goes and how many snaps he gets. But, I think we've kind of hit on this stuff, and because they played Monday night, we were right on it on Wednesday to just kind of talking about it. So see where it goes.
What two players scare you the most on the Eagles offense right now?
Definitely Darren Sproles, and I guess it would probably be in terms of being able to do damage, maybe not, you know, home run you, but Brent Celek does. I like Ryan Matthews as a back. I think he's a decent back. But, you know, I don't mind Jordan Matthews. Aguilar, we'll see. I think the jury's out on Aguilar.
Yeah, look, I own Nelson Aguilar in a high-dollar fantasy league, so I know all about last year. So I know all about the frustrations related to his game and how he really has underperformed. Jordan Matthews right now is a drop machine. He can get open, but he's a drop machine. If you go back, David, and if you watch, they do a good job of getting Jordan Matthews kind of loose, coming across on some of these play-action plays with him. So, you know, I would look for them to do that in this game. Trying to get the ball out to him in space. They'll obviously take a few deep shots to Matthews and Aguilar, who both each really had easy drops in those games against the Bears. If you go back up, there's one beat writer that really has, or radio guy with the Eagles that has about 10 or 15 clips up from the Eagles game against the Bears on Twitter that really, really shows what Doug Peterson is doing as far as some misdirection stuff.
Where was this?
On Twitter. If I can find some of them, I'll send you the link, David. But some great, great breakdown videos, not even in a blog post. They're just right there on Twitter that really shows how creative Doug Peterson was offensively with stuff, especially stretching defenses wide and some across the formation kind of stuff where you'll see a couple of defensive backs go one way and the play ends up going backside and that kind of stuff. I think when we go back and we look at this game, when it's all said and done, we're going to say, wow, you know, this is a lot of the stuff that we've seen in the first two games, and I think you can even probably trace a lot of this back to when Peterson was in Kansas City as well, too, because let's face it, Alex Smith is a more cerebral quarterback than he is talent, arm strength, and that kind of player. So I think you're going to see a lot of this kind of small ball, if you will, and I think if the Steelers can get Wentz in some third and down situations, force him to try to throw for the sticks, which is something that the first two quarterbacks Cousins and Dalton really, really haven't done a good job of doing on third downs. If you think I think the Steelers are going to come away with an interception or two on balls thrown down the middle of the field and on balls probably thrown on third down.
Okay. Well, we will we'll get a chance to see Sunday at 4:25. And for just a little self promo, I'll be doing a special pre-game show from Atria's on the north side at PNC Park on Sunday. That'll be from 12 to 2:25 when the Steeler Radio Network will pick up the pregame show. That'll go till the 4:25 kickoff, of course, and then Charlie Batch and I will be in studio doing the post-game show across the Steeler Radio Network. So that's DVE, ESPN Pittsburgh, Steelers Nation Radio, anything on the Steelers Game Day app, you can find that. And we'll probably be, I'm guessing about 7:45 till about 10:30 or so, hopefully talking about a Steeler win. So that's what we got going. And also, if you missed it earlier, we've got, as people maybe have heard on the last podcast, we've got a new sponsor. It's Craig Oxane. And Craig is a mortgage lender. So Steelers Nation mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan and a Pittsburgh native. Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at – make sure I get this number correct – 866-772-0471. That's 866-772-0471. We'll have to figure out some catchy Steeler historical numbers to get involved with that number. Or you can apply online at www.1amllc.com/Craig. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399 is Illinois Residential Mortgage License Equal Housing Lender. All right, Dave, before we get into our picks last night, my goodness, what do you say about Bill Belichick? 226th career win, ties Curly Lambeau for fourth on the career list. They just absolutely dominated the Texans. Texans didn't cross midfield in the first half, turned the ball over a bunch of times. I don't know what to say. Jacoby Brissett looked good enough. Their defense looked fantastic. No Brady and no Garoppolo. They start 3-0, looking at 4-0, and we might have two undefeated teams in Pittsburgh when they meet right before Halloween.
Out coached, right? I mean,
yeah, nothing new.
I mean, Josh McDaniels is going to end up a head coach again in this league, isn't he?
Yeah, I would think he's back on the high on the radar.
But I mean, I say what you will about Jacoby, their quarterback there. Look, does it deserve? I mean, he really is being put out there and talked about a lot this morning, put on a pedestal. Was it that great of a game? No.
Oh no, I think you're putting Belichick on the pedestal. I mean, yeah, and McDaniels as well. Look, Jacoby Brissett played. He played fine.
He played well enough to get the win, and boy, there were some nice runs in there. He did make a couple throws. He was off on several of his deep throws that he probably at least one or two that he should have made there. But they were afforded some short field opportunities thanks to several Texans turnovers there. The Patriots defense played well enough. Osweiler I think Osweiler's an overrated quarterback right now. I think they're going to be kicking themselves for giving him the kind of money that they gave him. He's more of a 5.6 yards per attempt kind of guy, if you ask me. Now, he did make some good throws to Nuke on the outside there. I will give him that. But the interception was just silly on his part, not seeing that. I mean, Belichick will rip your arm off and beat you over the head with it, And that's exactly what he did last night, for sure. I mean, out-coached, outplayed all the way across. Where was J.J. Watt in that game?
You're going to ask about a lot of guys in that game. I was flipping back and forth between the Pirates. You know, there was nothing. I went 0-3 last night. You know, Clemson, Georgia Tech, the Pats, Texans, and the Pirates, Brewers. There was nothing to watch that was interesting. When Clemson got up early, it was never a game. Pats got up early, wasn't really a game. Pirates got down early, wasn't a game. So I did a lot of channel surfing, but I didn't see much I liked.
Here's the Patriots now. No Brady, 3-0. Now they have a long week to prepare for who? The Bills, right? They get the Bills next, and the Bills don't have much on offense, and really haven't shown much on defense with the Ryan brothers as of right now. That's a nice vacation for Tom Brady, right?
And Garoppolo, one of the things I heard was one of the lines was, you know, that injury might be the greatest thing that ever happened to Jimmy Garoppolo. If he's not able to come back, all he's got is the tape he put out there, which was awfully good, and it's going to make him a boatload of money.
Yeah, sure is. Maybe they should just rest Brady and Garoppolo until the Steelers game, you know. At this point, it just seems like no doubt about it, they're going to be competing once again. I mean, Captain Obvious statement there, competing for the AFC title. And for them to do what they've done without Brady so far, I mean, you got to, as Hines Ward likes to say, you have to take your hat off and hand it to them.
Yep, could have two undefeated teams. That'll make it interesting. Jamie Collins and Ryan Shazier, maybe, along with Luke Kuechly, maybe the three best inside linebackers in the game right now. Somebody was commenting on that. I think Andy Benoit was commenting on that on Twitter, watching the Steeler film. But Jamie Collins with a nice interception, and see what a dynamic guy he is in the middle of that defense.
How many sacks will the Steelers defense have this week, and who's going to get them? Let's play this game.
Two, Cam and Jarvis.
I'm going to go two, but both Cam. I think it's time for him to get a couple, and I think he can dominate that left guard over there. So I'm going to go two as well, but both of them Cam.
All right, so we get to
our
picks. Let's
do it. I'm 1-0. I finally got the man on a Thursday night.
Yeah, you got me as well. As you know, that line went from -3 to New England to -1 Houston. As the week moved on and the quarterback situation clarified itself. But obviously Bill Belichick is where, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Bill Belichick got suspended, how that affects, you know, we talk about players being, no players worth more than 1 point except a quarterback who can be 6 or 7. How many would Bill Belichick be worth?
Yeah, quite a few for sure. I mean,
okay. So this week's picks, let's get to the, all right, the 1 o'clock games here. I'm just pulling them up. Sorry about that. All right, so 1 o'clock games. Denver at Cincinnati. The Bengals -3. This is a big game. You know, somebody's going to lose. AFC big time implications. Dave, this is, you know, Von Miller against this offensive line. You've got on the other side, you get, you know, Trevor Siemian against their defensive line. I like the matchup. I would be inclined here. I guess I am inclined to think we see a bounce back from Andy Dalton. I don't have a strong feeling here, but I'll take the Bengals -3. But this will be a fun game to watch at 1:00.
Yeah, I think the difference here is the play of the quarterback here, because I think both defenses are certainly good enough here. I just don't have faith in Trevor Siemian. Yeah, I think he throws a couple picks in this game, has some short fields for Andy Dalton and company. I'm rooting for Denver, but I think Cincinnati wins this game and covers the 3.
Okay, Oakland at Tennessee, and this game was a pick'em game a couple days ago. Now the Raiders are getting 1.5. You know, I've been selling the Raiders hype. I'm with that, and I think Tennessee's a 5 or 6 win team. So if the Raiders are going to take that step forward and contend for a playoff spot, you have to win games like this on the road. So give me the 1.5 on the road.
You know what? I'm starting to buy what Tennessee's selling a little bit. I think they're at home in this one. Oakland has had some issues already. My gut tells me take Tennessee to cover this 1.5 at home, and so I'm going to do it.
Okay, Arizona -4 at Buffalo. The Cards steamrolled Tampa last week. Let's say they keep it going. You know, things continue to spiral the wrong way for Buffalo. I'll take the Cards minus four.
Yeah, Cards my no, yeah, Cards minus four. No, Cards are on the road, right? Is that what you said? Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Well, short and sweet. I want the Cardinals in this one. Late a point.
Ravens at Jacksonville. Jags getting a point. This was also a pick 'em game early in the week. I'll take the Jags plus one at home.
Man, I can't do it, man. I they've come up short a few times already, just not enough. That defense just ain't there yet. And I think that offense of Jacksonville's been a little clunky at times as well, too. I'm rooting for Jacksonville here, but I have Baltimore with this one.
Cleveland plus 9.5 against Miami in Miami. And Cody Kessler makes his first career start. I haven't watched a lot of it, but you have to be impressed with what the Dolphins defense has done a bit early here. So I'm going to take him. I'm going to lay the 9.5 against Cody Kessler.
Man, I just don't have confidence in Miami right now. Miami will win this game, in my opinion, and that's going to be, I think, my survivor, one of the survivor pool picks this week as well, too. I mean, my confidence is right there. With that said, give me Cleveland in that 9.5 points, David.
Okay, Giants skins. Giants minus 4.5 in New York. I'll take the Giants.
Yeah.
Skin season maybe on the line.
Boy, Kirk Cousins hasn't looked so sharp just yet, has he? And for all that money that the Redskins spent on that defense, yikes. Give me the Giants to lay the points in this one as well.
Detroit at Green Bay. We're still in the 1 o'clock games. Aaron Rodgers didn't look good was it Sunday night? Sunday night. And he had, Dave, amazingly, Aaron Rodgers has had 14 straight games where he's had a passer rating below 100. Now, this would be a game to get healthy against this Lions secondary. But I'll tell you what, even though they lost against Tennessee, which surprised me a bit, I'll take Matthew Stafford and the 7 points on the road.
Yeah, I want those. What do you have, 7 or 7.5? I got 7.5, but we'll go with 7. It's one of those lines that I think Green Bay wins this, like you said, give me Detroit plus the points. I think they keep it close.
Panthers minus 7 at home against the Vikings. Call me crazy, but I don't think the loss of Adrian Peterson is going to derail this Vikings team. It doesn't help, obviously. But I think getting Sam Bradford, who I think is better than Teddy Bridgewater, is going to be the bigger factor. And I like their defense. They're aggressive. I think this would be a close game, so I'll take the 7 points.
Boy, that Diggs, what a player, right? And I'm with you. I think, you obviously would like to have Adrian Peterson as opposed to not to having him, but at least you're not going to feel obligated to force carries upon him. I think they have a group of backs that can kind of rotate through and get the ball out of the backfield. I expect Carolina to win this game at home, but I think Minnesota can keep it close, so give me Minnesota plus the points.
Seahawks minus 9.5 against San Francisco. I'm guessing the whole world's going to take this in a three-team tease to get it down to 0, get it down to plus a half against the Niners. Let me go against the grain here and say that the Niners defense plays okay, and so it's a lower scoring game. So 9.5, and I'll bet this goes over 10 by kickoff. But I'll take the Niners.
No, I can't do that. I think Seattle's going to finally get that offense on track this week, and I think they're just going to roll them up. So give me Seattle with the easy cover.
Tampa Bay minus 5.5. I'm in Jameis Winston's corner as a player. They were obviously awful last week. Who knows what to make of the Rams going on the road across the country? So I'll take the Bucs, but Vegas doesn't know what to make of either of these teams
right
now.
Yeah, I think that front of the Rams can wreak havoc on this and probably force a few turnovers. I think Tampa Bay wins this late on a field goal. So because of that, I'm going to take the Rams plus the points.
Jets at Chiefs. Chiefs minus 3. Give me the Jets.
I think
big AFC.
Boy, how can Kansas City just all of a sudden fall so backwards like they have? They're a better team than what they've shown so far. And you know, the Jets have had their problems. It's going to be hard to play in that stadium for New York. I think KC wins this, and thus I think KC covers as well too.
This is another one that I don't think anybody knows what to make of these two teams right now. The Chargers plus 2.5 against the Colts in Indy. Andrew Luck's a little dinged up. I rarely take the Chargers, Dave, but give me Phil Rivers on the road plus 2.5 and see
Boy,
what happens.
I think Indy really needs to win this game, I think. San Diego has lost a lot of pieces, but they've been able to get by. Here's the thing. Andrew Luck's going to have to start getting the ball out quicker because that line of his is absolutely atrocious. I think he does that this week. I think this is a close game. I think Indy wins, but I have San Diego covering.
Okay. Sunday night, Dallas minus 7 against the Bears. I'll take the Cowboys minus 7. I'll be on the post game, so hopefully people will be tuning into the post game and while they're watching.
Well, I wonder what the I saw a sign at that Redskins Dallas game last week said, "Do you like Dak?"
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Dak, look, I like Dak coming out of college, and it's unfortunate that he landed at Dallas because I really like what he brings to the table. Chicago is a mess right now. I mean, injuries, you know, Cutler, poor John Fox right now. I'm all over Dallas on this one. This is one of those three that you want to put with that three-team parlay.
Yeah, and Falcons at Saints. Saints minus 3 at home on Monday Night Football. You know, I don't like to bet on Matt Ryan either, but I'm going to take him too. So I got Phil Rivers and Matt Ryan.
This is a game I'm staying clear of right here. I'm not sure what I'm going to get in this game. Matt Ryan kind of rebounds just when you think he doesn't have something. Playing at New Orleans will always be tough here. Wow, give me New Orleans at home, David, to win this one, you know, to cover easily because I think it's going to be a touchdown game.
All right, and last but not least, at Lincoln Financial Field at 4:25 on Sunday, the Steelers take on the Eagles. This line, I think, started around 5.5. It's gotten bet down to 3.5, which happened really quickly after the performance by the Eagles on Monday night. Dave, I'll be shocked if the Sharps don't jump on this and move this thing back up toward 5.5, 6 by game time. But, you know, look, the Eagles did look good on Monday night. They're 2-0, so be it. But I'm with you. I'm on the Steelers here. And, you know, I've kind of liked my scores the first 2 weeks, and they've been pretty accurate. And I'm actually going to make it even a little bit more of a blowout. I'm going to keep putting the Steelers on 30 because they're averaging 31, I think, is the number right now. So I'm going to put them right back on 30, but I'm going to move the opponent down to 17. So it's Steelers 30-17 and a comfortable win.
Boy, and what's the narrative? What is the narrative, David, on Monday for us if the Steelers lose this game? What is it?
Well, it's two things. It's one, this offense had one good week, and now they've had two bad weeks. What do you make of that? And is Le'Veon Bell going to be the answer? And look, you can't turn the ball over. You just can't turn the ball over a bunch of times and expect to beat a team that has a good defense. And the rookie was good enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't think any of those things are going to happen. I hope not, at least. I think Wentz makes a mistake or two in this game. David, a Ross Cockrell pick six in this game, okay? I'm calling my shot right there. And Mike Mitchell is also going to have a pick in this game as well, too. So that's I'm pointing to the fence there. I think turnovers are going to be the difference in this game. And I think the Steelers offense gets a couple easy scores. I don't think that they're going to hit the 30 mark, but I think they easily cover. I have the Steelers 29-20. I think they give up a late, meaningless touchdown in the fourth quarter to make this thing go from 29-13 to 29-20. So, won't be much of anything for Steeler fans to get upset. I hope we don't have to talk about any of those narratives because this is flat out a road game that the Steelers should win against a rookie quarterback, and I'm expecting them to do so.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it rolls out on Sunday. And as I say, I'll be on the You can hear me on ESPN Pittsburgh on the pregame, noon to 2:25, and then of course on the postgame as we talked about.
You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow my co-host David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to donate to the show, SteelersDepot.com. And see the donate button. Special thanks again to Craig Oxane, our new sponsor as well too. And David, that's all I have. Happy Friday, David, and have a good weekend. We'll talk Monday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.